So in Ephesians 4, which is where we're looking at today, and it was on Ephesians 4, 1-6, that was last week's Bible passage. Is about friendship, it's about encouragement, it's about actually rolling up our sleeves and getting to work in our relationships. That's last week's. And today we're going to look at Ephesians 4, 11-5:1. What's a Bible passage? But the actual Bible verse we're going to look at is a bit more zoned in. It's going to be verse 29. Let's read. This is from the NIV, because I had a nice smoother running with the way it pronounced things. But you can follow along in your Bible. So it's Ephesians 4, 11-5:1. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by running and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with the needs, with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for working through the Apostle Paul to give us words that can help us grow, the words that can help us know how to live as your people, that point us back to Jesus, the one who saves us. We thank you and we pray that your Spirit will work in us this morning to understand these words and to put them into action. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So last Sunday we heard about friendships, we heard about companionship, about true friendships, and then a few weeks before, that's been a while since I've preached, then we heard about anger, and we looked at that. So today I want to sort of continue a little bit around these passages that we've been looking at already. Today I want to look at what God is teaching us through this letter to the Ephesians, and how belonging to Jesus changes us. In Jesus, we become a new humanity. It's interesting, I talk to people and they want to know what's wrong with the world, and I think they're hoping for a new humanity, like as if people can be better people. And Jesus is the answer to that. Jesus makes us into new people. In fact, he transforms us back to the people God originally wanted us to be. This means that our lives then have a redemptive process to it. We are being transformed. They have a redemptive purpose. And God is working through us, and his Spirit is in us, making us like Jesus Christ, transforming us into these new people in Jesus. And I think one of our greatest struggles in our lives is our speech. See, Jesus knew this, and so under Paul's guidance with the Holy Spirit, he wrote these things to this early church to help us grow. Because Jesus wants us all to grow up. We can see that from that passage. We all need to grow up. We all need to mature. Jesus has redeemed us to be his people and called us out to be imitators of him. So today I want to focus on verse 29 of that passage, probably a bit of 30, but verse 29. And I'm going to continue next week on this theme. Jesus calls us in verse 29 to take our talk seriously because we are new people in him. As people who have experienced Jesus' love, we walk in love and are continually putting on new ways. He's made us alive. And in this, we're putting to death old ways. That's what we've seen in the passages before. We're putting to death old ways, the ways we used to live when we just simply lived for our own gratification. You know, I think that's what we do today. We live for our own gratification. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? I want instant gratification. That's why we spend. That's why we spend so much money on things that waste our time, because we want instant gratification. But Jesus is different. Following Jesus is different. That's our old ways. That's our old self. And sometimes as us growing up in Christian families, we don't experience this old way and new way. See, these people here, they were once like something, and now they're being transformed into another thing. This is what it says in verses 17 to 19. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. So in other words, like the rest of culture lives. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance, that is, in them due to their hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so gratification, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. So like I said, some of us growing up, we probably haven't experienced such a transformation if we've grown up in a Christian household. But we know these experiences exist in our life. When we practice things that are designed around our own cravings, our own instant gratification. And therefore we put aside Jesus, we put aside what he wants us to be, because it's all about us. But when we look at this passage, it's because of our love for Jesus, we desire to honour him as Lord. We want to live our lives not selfishly for ourselves, but rather for him. We desire sanctification as the Spirit is working in us, making us life like Jesus, rather than falling into gratification by cravings of our flesh. Because without Jesus, these cravings will never be satisfied. We don't simply do this because the Bible tells us so, but as we know Jesus through reading the Bible, we discover how much Jesus has done for us. We see that as we talk about communion. We know that Jesus has loved us, and it's through that he's caused us to love him. And this love changes us, because his love has changed us. Ephesians 5:1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. This is what motivates us. Christ's love compels us, as we looked at in the Corinthians passage. But today I want to look at this whole struggle of speaking, of words, of talk, and what Paul says in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have sealed for the day of redemption. Then verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. You know, so often we're concerned about our speech offending others. We don't see the deeper reason. as to why our words and speech matters. You know, sometimes we say things, we don't actually see the bigger picture of what this is saying. When words are unwholesome and don't build people up, more importantly than worrying about the other people, we actually grieve the Holy Spirit that's in us. We certainly love the other people, we certainly worry about the other people, but this passage is connected to us having the Holy Spirit in us. The word unwholesome in the Greek is rotten, disgusting fruit. It's like that's got fungus growing on it. It's like that gross, black, saggy-looking banana in the back of your cupboard that's disgusting. That's what our wholesome talk is. It's rotten fruit that brings no nourishment. And that's exactly what it means today as much as it meant to those people back then. So if the Holy Spirit is working in us and working in me to make us like Jesus, then he's restoring our speech. He's restoring our talk. Our talk is to build up others by gracefully working and loving other people. And the Holy Spirit should be convicting us to do this, because the Holy Spirit is in us working the same way. It is working to build us up. We are grieving the Holy Spirit and God if we start tearing other people down. Our role is to strengthen others. We should be transformed in our thinking, transformed in our speaking, rather than just dishing out our rubbish to other people, throwing them our rotten fruit. I wonder about you. I wonder what your attitude is when you come to a conversation. My attitude should be to build up, not tear down. My attitude should be to forgive, not harbour bitterness, because Jesus doesn't act that way towards me or you. Jesus wants you to stand in glory, fully redeemed. That's his goal. And then if we don't have that goal for other people, then we've missed something in the gospel. We've misunderstood. And we don't see that Jesus is on our side as well as our brothers and sisters' side. He wants us all to grow, all to be built up. And yes, Jesus challenges us in times when we reject him. But within that, within his rebuking of us, he's encouraging us to grow. The Holy Spirit is encouraging us to grow. So we can imitate Jesus. So we can become truly redeemed people in and through Jesus, the way we should be. And the Holy Spirit does this as we get into the Word. Jesus grows and builds us gracefully and patiently. And so, because of this, we reciprocate that to others. See, as I read these words, I realise that the Holy Spirit is not only grieved by when other people's wrong actions come to me. So sometimes people come to you and they've got the wrong motives and actions. But the Holy Spirit is also grieved when I respond the wrong way. When my talk back to those people is unwholesome, unfruitful and tearing down. As others grieve me, I must make sure that my reaction and my words don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I have a responsibility to imitate Jesus, even if others fail to do so, even if my brothers and sisters do me wrong. This doesn't mean I can't rebuke those in the wrong, but within our rebuking, we must for sure, firstly, we've got our facts right. It's okay for Jesus, he knew everyone's hearts. And we must be motivated by love. And we also must be motivated by humility, grace, and grace. Remember last week he talked about humility? And humility is basically when we see our own sins before God, before we approach others. I have no justification before Jesus to tear others down, because Jesus doesn't tear me down. If I start tearing people down, I simply become like the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant, which we'll look at a little bit further next week. But through the cross, Jesus chose to tear himself down. His love and grace has fully forgiven me, and therefore in him I must trust in him. As we experience God's grace, it uplifts you and me. It causes us to imitate Jesus in everything because of the way Jesus loves us. If you respond to others by tearing them down, Like I said, you haven't understood what Jesus has done for you. Maybe you've got a different Jesus. If your way of speaking to others doesn't exhibit fruitfulness to grow others, then you grieve the Holy Spirit. You fail to be who Jesus wants you to be. If your way of dealing with others is harboring bitterness and kicking the dog, you fail to imitate Jesus' love. Your life grieves the Holy Spirit, who is wanting you to imitate Jesus. Therefore, we need to get our conversations right. We need to get our talk right. You know, when someone hurts me, I get a little annoyed. I get a little angry. But I stop and I think about Jesus' words that he speaks to me and to you. That unwholesome talk is centered on my feelings. It's my rotten fruit. Godly wholesome talk is self-controlled and fruitful. It's centered on Jesus' love and work in me. That's how I imitate Jesus. And we experience this as we get into God's word. We get to see who Jesus really is. Wholesome talk is connected to the Holy Spirit. Rotten fruit is connected to our gratification. The Holy Spirit wants us to grow so we can reciprocate Jesus to others. That's the goal. Godly wholesome talk has a firm grip on our emotions. This is where we choose to imitate Jesus and speak his words, rather than simply speak what's on our mind. How often do we just say, I just got to get something off my chest? What are you doing? You're just dishing out rotten fruit. That's what you're doing. Why? Because you want to have self-gratification. That's what it's about. It's about you. Anyone can blurt out what's on their mind. Simply gratifying yourselves. You bring out your rotten fruit in a conversation, but the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is in us, wanting us to grow, sanctifying us to grow. It's easy to tear people down. We can do that, and the media does that. Facebook does that. You know, recently I had a situation. I had a friend that was just emailing me on Facebook, and they wanted to tell me something about another person. And it was just something really serious. I don't know what it was. They wouldn't get into it, but they said, you have to swear the secrecy, you're not going to tell anyone and even mention this conversation. And I said, look, I value you as a friend, but I'm not going to go that way. And he said, what, isn't your word good enough? Like, you can't swear an oath. And I said, no, my word is good. But if you tell me something that I can't go and talk to the other person about and clarify and get their opinion, I'm not interested. You could condemn someone to me via Facebook in your little text, and I've sworn an oath that I can't go and talk to anyone about that and clarify it. I have to believe that gossip. And the person understood. I think that person got convicted. Because I said, what would happen if someone did that the same to you and said something about you, and I can't go and consult you because I swore an oath? This is what the world we live in. Interesting, isn't it? How often as husbands, we like to tear our wives down around other guys, trying to make ourselves a hero. But does Jesus think you're a hero in those moments? No. This is what Jesus says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Godly wholesome talk is motivated by love that benefits the listeners. Unwholesome talk expresses deep down what we want people to know about how we feel. And man, if God did that to us, I mean, think of all the wrath that God had that he poured out on Jesus. If God did that to us? No. God gracefully, patiently works with us. And so the Holy Spirit is patiently working with us, gracefully working with us. And Jesus sees us in these times. So before I consider my rights to express what's on my mind, I need to love and know people more. I need to know that God is in me at work, that the Holy Spirit is in me at work, that Jesus is knowing me and building me up. So therefore, I build others up. just sprouting out even my biblical opinions or deep down frustrations is not what Jesus is calling us to do. Our communication has a redemptive purpose as much as our whole entire lives. That means we actually need to know Jesus more so we can be those people. We need to hear what Jesus has to say. We need to read the words of Scripture so we can see how we are to live that life. If we don't do that, what are we doing? How are we going to imitate Jesus? Think about today's words that you're hearing. When was the last time you thought about your words? And how powerful your words are to other people's lives. You see, this is more than just not saying the F word or the S word. Actually, Paul says things about that in chapter 5. So don't reduce this passage to simply, oh, I'm a good-mannered Christian, I don't say the F word. No, this is deeper than that. See, the Holy Spirit grieves more by your mouth than the guy down the pub who's mouthing off. Because the Holy Spirit's in you at work. I don't want my life to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want my life to grieve God, who generously died on a cross so I could be the person he wants me to be. So he did everything in his power to make me truly to be human, to be redeemed back to him. I want to speak for Jesus. I want my speech to be Christ-like. I want to imitate my life to be like Jesus. Not culture, not my rights, but Jesus. Because I belong to him. You belong to him. We are a redeemed community in Jesus. Not old people with new badges. We are ambassadors, as 2 Corinthians told us. Ambassadors. A new humanity. Which means we speak for Jesus. This means we are to put away all unwholesome talk. And there are moments, you know, that I fail and you fail. But I think about Jesus as I study his word. And because in his word it brings me life, it stirs me up to not be satisfied with just being there. But it builds in me, through the power of the Spirit in me, to grow. As I know Jesus more, I want to grow more. I'm imitating a person, not a list of things. And his love motivates me to do this. Well, does your life have this same stirring passion? To know Jesus more, so you can imitate him more in your life? To be who Jesus has called you to be, why he died on a cross, why he'd given you his Spirit? Maybe the first step is to say, Jesus, I want more of you. I'm not satisfied with my life that doesn't exhibit your work in me. I want more of you so my life has godly, wholesome talk. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve. The Holy Spirit's personal. I don't want to grieve him. And I want to grow others as God is growing me because of his love for me. We all need help in this. But through God's word and through his Spirit, we are people who are being transformed. Next Sunday, we're going to look at this a little further. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing work. Lord, we are people who were so far away from you, and sometimes we get far away from you. Lord, bring us back to you. Lord, let us not be people who ignore you. Lord Jesus, let us know you more. Let us read your word more so we can know who you are, so we can imitate you. Lord, stir our hearts to understand that the way you love us is the way that we reciprocate it to others, how we imitate you. That we see a model. And although that model is sometimes seems overwhelming and hard, Lord, you've given us your Spirit to enable us to do this. Lord, your Spirit is working in us so that we may walk in the path you want us to walk, which is to imitate you. Lord, help us not to grieve your Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us not to grieve you. And help us to put away all unwholesome talk and put on godly talk that is rooted in Jesus, that can build others up, we pray. Through Jesus, amen.